has, feel free to contact us at
662-704-0630. Again, 662-704-0630.
And until our next broadcast, remember, the devil has not forced a chain that the power of God cannot break. Until our next broadcast, God bless you. From Bishop Kenny Townsend
and Minister Mildred Townsend.
Tell somebody, say, you stand. Yeah, Lord, yeah.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Hi, this is Pastor Arthur LaValle with Kingdom Life Fellowship Community Ministry, welcoming you to another opportunity to transform your life. Did you know that you possess the power and the responsibility to determine your future and destiny? Did you know that you are the sum total of the choices and decisions you make every day? However, the ability for you to make the right decisions for a life that will lead to your God-given destiny depends on your quality of knowledge. Self-development demands self-discipline. It is our desire to see your life transformed by the messages on these broadcasts. Prepare to receive as we join this opportunity to grow and expand, as we inspire you and motivate you to achieve your greatest in God's purpose for your life. Sit back now and listen to a message that is designed to destroy ignorance and empower you to become an effective human on this planet as you inspire others to reach their maximum potential. Let us join the seminar in progress.
Well, y'all, get ready, because the man of the hour is in the house, and he's getting ready to share with you the principles pertaining to the kingdom of God. That's right. You're no longer an outsider looking in. He's about ready to prepare you how to be that insider functioning in the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, get your pencil out, get your paper, get your word out, because King Arthur is in the house and he is going to be sharing those principles. He's been doing it for the last couple of years, helping to empower God's people so that they can maximize their abilities in the things of God, helping you to reach that level of maximization that the Spirit of Christ wants you to reach. So on that note, are you ready for us, King Arthur? Okay, he's still trying to get his mic together again, but while he's getting this up together, y'all get y'all word together too. Amen. Get y'all word out and get ready to position yourself, because we never know what direction. He's kind of like me, and I'm kind of like him. We just let the Holy Spirit direct us and guide us in the way that we should go, because it's all about giving God the glory. And I thank God for my brother. Thank him for his ministry. Amen. I'd like to encourage those of you that are listening out there. His ministry is being a blessing to you. Please, amen, be supportive to it. That's what it's all about. When something has been a blessing to you, amen, he doesn't come with no cliche lines telling you if you there's a blessing attached to your seed. Now, he's not like that, and I'm not like that either. But I tell you what, the workman is worthy of what he's doing for the longevity of what he's trying to do. And if you find a brother worthy to stay on the air, help him stay on the air. Help him. He'll give you the particulars later on or how you can do that. Amen. But I tell you what, you should always want to be a blessing to those that have been a blessing to you. There's no stipulation that you have to do it, but you should want to do it. You should want to.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, saints. Amen. 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 Amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome opportunity and privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles and share with y'all the kingdom ministry of God to your life. Hey, listen, that's an awesome opportunity and an awesome privilege for me, you know. So let's begin this broadcast, and we're going to open up with a prayer. Amen. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace, Father. How sweet the sound, Father, that saved a wretch like me. Once we were lost, Father, but now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. I thought I would ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through this radio broadcast, Father, and through all the ministries that you have in the earth that will edify the body of Christ and bring us to the unity of the faith, to a full stature of Christ, until we become a predictable, fixed, predictable image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. What an honor and what a privilege, Father. So, Lord, we just ask you to have your way. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, his grace and his mercy. Thank you for your love. Thank you for everything that you do, Father. And thank you, Father, most of all, for the communion of the Holy Spirit, Father. Now we humble ourselves and we yield ourselves to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we would ask that the Holy Spirit would take control. Holy Spirit, I relinquish myself of all of me, and then I allow you to take control of these lips of clay to minister to the body of Christ, to the church. As always, we give you, Father, all of the glory and the honor and the praise. Now speak to our hearts, Father, in words of love and comfort, so that we could know that we know that we know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you're always with us, Father, and that you're never going to leave us and that you're never going to forsake us, Father. We thank you, Lord, and we give you all the glory and the honor and the praise in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Hey, once again, mighty men and mighty women of the Most High God, what an honor and what a privilege it is to be able to come into your homes and your automobiles and share with y'all a specific message. I call it the greatest message and the greatest story that has ever been told. You know, and it's the same message and the story that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ ministered to us. So let's go ahead on into the broadcast and see what we're talking about. Our subject matter today, we've been speaking over the last few weeks about the original plan and the original purpose and destiny that God has for our lives and for the church. So if we could title this broadcast, I would title it this way: The Mission of the Church, Rediscovering the Original Assignment and Message of the Church. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say that again, Arthur. The Mission of the Church, Rediscovering the Original Assignment and Message of the Church. We have to look at a few things first, you know, to find out in this broadcast we will discover what church really is, what church is really all about, what church is purpose and its destiny. Hey, listen, the word church, Jesus mentioned it in his gospel for the first time, and I think it's Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and it says this: Jesus had asked the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples say, "Well, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're one of the other prophets." All the ones that they had mentioned, all those were prophets. And then Jesus asked him, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said this. He got a revelation from the Holy Spirit and from God. And he said this: God showed me who you are. Who are you? He said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus told him, he said, "Listen, Peter, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven, he revealed that to you. And upon that revelation knowledge that you have of who I am, that has been revealed to you by the Holy Spirit, I'm going to build my church. And the gates of Hades, the gates of hell, the graveyard, death, even when men die, it cannot stop the advancement, the establishment, and the advancement of my kingdom upon the earth." What did he say? Now, this is the first time Jesus mentioned this word. And listen, you have to understand something, that the word church is a word that was translated from Greek to English, and we call it church. But in the Greek language, it's ekklesia, E-C-C, I spell it for you, E-C-C-L-E. S-S-I-A, ecclesia, or ecclesia. And this word, you know, has, listen at this. This broadcast might not go over too good, but listen. This word church, that was originally, what it originally mean, it has nothing to do with a building. It had nothing to do with stained glass windows. It had nothing to do with a choir. It had nothing to do with singing. It has nothing to do with dancing. It has nothing to do with all the things that we practice and the ceremonies and everything that we do in a worship service, in a building. The word church there is original meaning, has nothing to do with all of that. And when Jesus said, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church is the indication that that's not the only church. He was just signifying that I'm going to build my church. My church is the indication that there are other churches too. So let's see what this word church mean or ecclesia mean. The Bible said in the book of Galatians that in the fullness of time, God sends forth his son. In fact, let me read that for you. Galatians chapter 4. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutor and governor until the appointed time of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, so that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because we are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, we are no more servants, but sons. And if sons of God, then heirs of God through Christ Jesus. Hey, listen. That's him telling us, Jesus saying here, you know, Bible saying, in the fullness of time. Let me give you a little Bible history, you know. There are five major empires that's in the Bible that ruled the earth, boy, from Genesis chapter 3 all the way up until now. They were empires or great kingdoms that ruled the world during that time. The first empire that the Bible speaks of is the Babylonian Empire. The next empire that the Bible speaks of, the Assyrian Empire. The next empire that the Bible speaks of is the Persian Empire. The next empire that the Bible speaks of is the Greek Empire. And the next empire that the Bible speaks of is the Roman Empire. Now, the Bible said in Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time, listen, the fullness of time don't have anything to do with hours or dates or years or months. Fullness of time has to do when everything is in place, when the setting is right, when everything is in order, when the timing is right, when everything is set up, boy, to officially and effectively communicate, boy, what the king want, what God want. When in the fullness of time. And when God sent Jesus Christ to this earth, let me just say something to you first concerning that. God told in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, God set up church in the earth. And when God set up church in the earth in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, something happened. You know, and something happened when the devil came in and got Adam and Eve them to rebel against the known will of God, and they disobeyed God. They declared independence from God. And they found themselves separated from God, spiritually dead. And then God began to talk to them about it, you know. And then God said something to the devil in Genesis chapter 3. He said, that same woman that you deceived, the seed of that woman going to have a seed. And that seed going to crush your head. It's going to destroy your works. It's going to destroy everything that concerns you, everything that you're trying to do. He's going to destroy that, and he's going to get rid of your authority that you've taken from Adam. In other words, God was promising the devil that there's coming a seed. There's coming one. That same woman that you deceived, there's coming one from her that's going to bruise your head. That's going to take back the authority that Adam has given you. He's going to take it back and give it back to the people who it rightfully belonged to. That's the sons and daughters of the Most High God. Now, he said that in Genesis chapter 3. But it wasn't until 4,000 years later that God sent his son. What Galatians said, in the fullness of time. Now listen, when God said that was back in Genesis chapter 3. When that seed came, Well, that was 4,000 years later. Why did it take so long? Why did you think it took so long for Jesus Christ to come? We know he's that seed. Because the setting was right. Like I was telling you, and everything was set up the way God needed it to be set up for him to effectively communicate the message that he wanted to communicate to mankind. Hey, listen, the greatest empire of all the empires that there ever was the Roman Empire. They were different from all the other empires, you know. The other empires, the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, the Persian Empire, even the Greek Empire. The way they governed things and their governing system was they would go and take over territory, and then they would destroy the people, and then the ones that they didn't destroy, they would bring back to their territory and make them slaves, and then they have people war in their territory. The Babylonians did that. The Assyrians did that. The Persians did that. And the Greek did that. But the Romans came and took over and defeated the Greek Empire, and they took over. And they set up their empire upon the earth. But their empire was different. You know, when they took over, actually the Romans were barbarian type of people. But when they defeated the Greek were philosophers, thinkers. You know, we know the ones that they even make a demand on that you study when you go to college, you know. And these are guys like Socrates, Aristotle, Plato. These are great Greek thinkers, you know, and philosophers who studied thought and behavior. And they came up with a system, man, that was called for ecclesia. And what it, you know, and what that really system is a system of governing the masses of the people. That's what they studied also, the Greeks. You know, they studied thought, they studied behavior, they studied government, they studied the people. And they were coming up with ways in which were to govern their territory, their empire, their kingdom in an effective way. And one of the functions that they came up with was this word, ecclesia, or ecclesia, the same word that we translate into English that we call church. Now, when the Roman Empire took over and defeated the Greek Empire, they destroyed the Greeks, but they didn't destroy their library or their philosophy or their school of thoughts. In fact, they adopted it. And more, and through their adopting of the Greek philosophy and their system of governing things, boy, they became the greatest empire. Even to this day, no other empire can even compare or compete with Rome. Because Rome, at that time, ruled the whole known world. And a system that they set up to rule the known world was similar, very similar to God's original plan and purpose for the earth and for his children. Why you say that, Arthur? Because in the Roman Empire, when they would go and take over territory, they wouldn't uproot the people from the territory. They would leave the people in the territory, and then what they would do was send Roman officials, Roman government, Roman soldiers, Roman people to that territory, and boy, they would set up Roman government and Roman rules and Roman laws and the way things are in Rome, and then they would set up in that territory that they would go and take over Roman government. And it would be in that territory just like it is in Rome. I noticed something about what these philosophers like Aristotle and Socrates developed, boy, in this custom, in this system of governing the earth, or governing an empire, or governing a kingdom. What they did was they established a group, and this group was chosen ones, called out ones. And this is what they would do. They would get the mind of the emperor. They would get the mind of the king. They would get the mind of Caesar, because it was Caesar in that time. They would, Caesar chose these people. These are chosen ones. You know what the scripture say? We have not chosen him, but God has chosen us. Well, that's what Caesar did during the Roman Empire. He chose, boy, certain people that would come and sit at his feet and get the mind of Caesar, get the will of Caesar, get the dictates of Caesar, get the desire of Caesar, and Caesar's mind and his dictate and his desire. And then they would, Caesar would send them to the territory that they would take over, and they would go in that territory and set up Roman government, Roman law, Roman rule, Roman dictate in that territory. Listen, the way Caesar would set up his mind and his desire and his dictate and territory that he would take over in the earth was through those called out ones, ecclesia. It was like a cabinet. It was like a senate. And again, that what they would do was get the mind of the one who called them out, the mind of the king, the mind of Caesar, the desires of Caesar, the dictates of Caesar. And they would implement it and make it legislation and practical law, practical policies. What you mean practical policies? Policies that you practice. So that in those territories that Rome would take over, then, boy, they would go and set up the policies, the practical policies, policies they practice, the governing system of Rome, how they practice, the mind of Caesar that they had got, the ecclesia, those called out ones, that Senate or his cabinet. And they would go and set up, boy, Roman rule, Roman government, Roman policy, Roman law in that territory. For what purpose, Arthur? So then that territory will reflect what Caesar's mind was and what Caesar's desire was. And Caesar never left Rome, but he took over. They ruled the whole known world. I mean, Rome was a great empire. They ruled all the way from Rome, all the way from Italy to Europe to England, even as far as the Mediterranean, all the way even up into Africa. You listen, they were greater than any empire that ever was, even the United States. The United States is a great empire, but they just ruled 51, 52 states. But in that time, Rome ruled the whole world. They took over territories, man, in the whole world, and they built roads to all these different places, man, so that they could travel to these places. They could send their soldiers to these places, and they could send, boy, their administration to these places. And when they would send their administration to those places, they would set up Roman rule and Roman government in those places so that those places would reflect the mind of Caesar. And it would become in those places just like it is in Rome. Well, listen, during that time, that's when Jesus Christ was born, and that's when Jesus Christ came during the Roman Empire. Because what he came to do was similar to the way Rome governed their empire. Hey, listen. God's original intent and God's original desire and God's original plan was to extend his governing influence of heaven to the earth. So God created the heavens, that's the universe, and the earth. Isaiah 45 says this, God created the earth so that it would be inhabited. That's a purpose for the earth. That's a purpose why God created the earth. And the purpose is this, he wanted to extend his governing influence. He wanted to extend, boy, his desire, his intent, his plan, his purpose. He wanted to extend the governing influence of heaven to earth. He wanted to be, let me say it simply, he wanted to be on earth just like it is in heaven. He created earth to be a colony of heaven, an outpost of heaven, and to be inhabited by his offspring, his sons, called mankind, Adam, the human race. With an assignment and with a mandate. And that mandate that his sons had was created to do was to colonize earth, to make earth a colony of heaven, to make it on earth just like it is in heaven. That's God's original intent and God's original plan for the earth and mankind. What's that is again, Arthur? He wanted to be on earth just like it is in heaven. His plan of doing that is through his family of sons called mankind. His strategy of doing that was to fill mankind up with his ability, with his power, with his authority. We call him the Holy Spirit. So that, boy, mankind would be able to know the thoughts of God, to know the mind of God, to know the will of God. Who knows the thoughts of God and the will of God and the mind of God save the Holy Spirit? He the only one can come and reveal to us what God is really all about. Listen, many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the purpose of the Lord that's going to prevail. The only one that can really reveal to us, boy, what I'm thinking in my head, the only one that can reveal that to you is me. And the way I reveal that to you is when I articulate it, when I speak it. When it come out of my mouth, it become logos or a spoken or an expressed idea. What it is, Arthur? An expressed idea. Why are you going this way, Arthur? Because I want to lay down a foundation about the fullness of time and the purpose and the mission of the church and what church really is so that we can understand the church. Because, listen, the devil has preoccupied us with a good thing, right? And that's his most successful tactic against us, the church, is to preoccupy us with good things at the expense of forfeiting great things. So this is one of the things that he's preoccupied us with. He's caused us to lose the knowledge and the understanding of what church really is, and he didn't preoccupy us with having church and how well you know our services was and how well our programs was and how well our seminaries was and how well the minister articulated the message and how well you know your emotions were stirred up and how well the singing was and the dancing was and the sermon was, you know. And he's preoccupied with what, Arthur? Us having church at the expense of us never coming to the knowledge of who we really are and what we're really supposed to be doing. Not just having church, but learning how to be the church. But if you don't know what church really is, then that's all you can do, be preoccupied with just having church. So if we didn't reduce what church really is all the way down to just having church, and the body of Christ don't know anything about how to be the church. So therefore, boy, we prepare people to go to heaven, and that's not the purpose and the intent and desire that God has for the church. Hey, listen, again, the church, the word church was a common word during Jesus' time. You know, when he said, I'm going to build my church, it's an indication of the other church. Caesar ruled Rome at that time. He was the emperor of Rome, and he had his church. What is church? Called out ones. Who they called out by? By the king or the emperor or the ruler of the territory. And he called them out. He separated them from the natural world and from the natural people. And then they sit at the feet of Caesar. And they get Caesar's, again, I said this earlier, they get his mind, his dictate, his will, and what he want. And then they learn it. And then they turn it into to law and to legislation. And then they make it, boy, practical policies, a policy that, boy, the people begin to practice. So that, boy, I'm talking about the territory that Rome would take over, that territory would become a colony of Rome. So that the same thing that's going on in Rome will be going on in that territory. And again, the way Caesar got that done was through his called out one, who had his mind, who had his will, who had his desire, who had his dictate, who knew the mind of Caesar and what he wanted. And their job was to go into foreign territories and set up that system in that territory so that that territory could reflect Rome. It could reflect the mind of the leader, the emperor, the king, the Caesar. For what purpose? Also, so that it might be again in that territory just like it is in Rome. And notice this, Caesar never left Rome. Well, how he got that done, Arthur? Through his ecclesia, through his church. Hey, listen, church is not a religious word. We didn't religiousize these words and traditionalize these words. And the Bible says our religion and our traditions have made the word of God of none effect. So instead of us being, as the church, being who we really supposed to be, we just preoccupied with just having church. Good singing, good song, good dance, good praise, good worship. And never go out into everyday life, into this world, into this earth system, and be the church. What's the purpose for the church? To turn a territory over, to turn a territory, to make a territory that the government or the kingdom take over, and make that territory a colony of the kingdom. So when Jesus Christ came, he came during that era, during that empire, because the same system that Rome set up on the earth that caused them to be the great empire. Listen, this is how Rome did it. Here Caesar is in Rome, in Italy, and he done set up the Roman government, the Roman Empire in Italy. And listen, the way kingdoms expand is by taking over territory. So again, Caesar he wasn't like the other empires. They wouldn't uproot the people and bring them back like the Babylonian Empire when they went and destroyed them people, and then they brought Daniel and them guys back over there and made them slaves and servants over there. They were not like that. Rome, boy, would lead the people in the territory and go and set up, boy, Roman rule and Roman government in that territory. So that territory would become like Rome. But listen, that's what God wants. In the beginning, man, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God had church, but it wasn't church as we know it. But he had his called out. He had his ecclesia. He had his cabinet in Adam, in mankind. And what was their assignment? What was God's original assignment was? He want to extend the governing influence of heaven to earth. He want to do it how? Through his family of sons. That's his church. What's the assignment of the church? And what's the mandate of the church? Hey, listen, we read it to you many times in our Bible. It's our foundation scripture. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And then in verse 26, it says this. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, everything that creepeth upon the earth, and over all the earth. So God created man in his image. In his image created he them. Male and female created he them. And watch this. And the Bible says, and God blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. So the Bible say, boy, so God created man in his image and in his likeness. And he wanted man to come to the earth and colonize earth. So that's why God created in the beginning the heavens and the earth. He specified earth. Why? Because he wanted the earth to be inhabited. How? By his children. For what purpose? So that his children can extend the governing influence of the king, the most high God, and his domain, heaven, could extend that to earth. How are you going to do that? Through his church. Who was his church? Who was his original church? Hey, Adam. Who is Adam? Adam is not the name that God gave to that one man. Adam was the name that God gave to the species called mankind, the human race. God made one body from the ground and never went back to the ground again. Everybody come from that one body. So when God was talking to Adam in the garden or in the beginning, he was talking to everybody. Even Eve, everybody came from Adam. What was their mandate and why did God bring them to the earth? Because they originated in heaven. That's where God is, our Father which art in heaven. And when God wanted us, he spoke to himself. And from himself came us. A little masterpiece, or a little piece of the master. Now, if God would have wanted for us to spend eternity in heaven with him, then he would have left us there. But the Bible says, boy, in Genesis chapter 2, we go into a little detail. It says, so God came down to the earth, and the earth was barred and without shape, and God, man, started reforming it and recreating it and setting it back up again because he wanted to be inhabited by his people. So God, man, bring Adam, mankind, spirit beings, that's created in the image and likeness of God, just like God, he bring us to the earth and he form a body, an earth suit, for us to live in from the earth. And there he placed the man in that body. The Bible says he breathed into man's nostrils. Who is man's spirit being? Created in the image and likeness of God. The body is not you, that's your house that God formed from the earth for you to live in so that you could dominate the earth, so that you could rule and reign on the earth. So he created or he formed a body from the dust of the ground. And there he placed you. And the Bible says, and he planted a garden in Eden. What's the garden? The same garden that the Bible speaks of in heaven. What's that? It's a kind of difficult word to explain. It's a Hebrew word. The Hebrew language is written in strokes. And it has like five different strokes. And one of those strokes is spot. Another stroke is moment. Another stroke is open door. Another stroke is the life of place. And another stroke is the literal presence of the Lord. So what is Eden? Eden is a spot that's set up on the earth for the moment. with an open door into a delightful place. A delightful place, what? The presence of the Lord. So what did God put up in that garden? What did God plant? He planted a little carbon copy of him. He planted an atmosphere and an environment, boy, that's conducive to the literal presence of the Most High God. Listen, can you imagine what it would be like, boy? I'm talking about the literal presence of the Most High God. Come sit right next to you. Come live right next to you. Come live in your house. Come live in your community. Come live in your schools. Come live on your job. Right next to you, the very presence of the Most High God. That's Eden. It's not a geographical location. It's an environment and an atmosphere that's set up by the literal presence of the Lord. The literal presence of the Lord. And not just the presence of the Lord among us, but the presence of the Lord on the inside of us. Remember what I said? God came and formed the body from the dust of the ground, and he breathed on the inside of that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What he did, he released on the inside of that body the little offspring of God, the spirit that has a soul, that's a mind, will, emotion, and attitude. And then he also filled us up or put on the inside of us the Holy Spirit, the governor of the kingdom, the one who knows the mind of God and everything else. But what purpose? That through the Holy Spirit, we will have direct connection, direct communication with all of the influence of heaven and with the Most High God. The Holy Spirit, we would have the ability of God, the power of God, the might of God, the attributes of God, the character of God, the nature of God, the likeness of God. How is God putting that and developing that on the inside of us? Not by power, nor by might, what do you say, but by my spirit, said the Lord. So he breathed on the inside of that body the breath of life, and man became a living soul, filled with the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? To be fruitful. That's productive. To multiply, that means, boy, that which you will produce in your life, multiply. And then it say, and replenish the earth, to do it. I mean, and distribute, you know, all that you are fruitful in. For what purpose, Arthur? So that it might be in our lives here on earth, in the presence of the Lord in that Garden of Eden, just like it is in heaven. God set that up upon the earth. What? Heaven on earth. We know it as the Garden of Eden. Listen, Abraham knew it as Noah knew it as the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark, the boat that he built, during the presence of the Lord. Abraham knew it as the Promised Land. David terminology it as the secret place of the Most High God. The prophets terminology it as the presence of the Lord. Fear not, for the Lord thy God is with thee. The presence of the Lord. Jesus called it the kingdom of heaven. In Adam's time, it was called the Garden of Eden. What it was an atmosphere and an environment that's created by the literal presence of the Most High God. Heaven on earth. And there he placed the mankind. There he placed mankind. Where? In heaven on earth, in the Garden of Eden, with a mandate. What's that mandate again, Arthur? To make the whole earth, to be fruitful, to multiply, to subdue, and replenish the earth. Make the whole earth just like that little Garden of Eden. That's what Rome did. That's what Caesar did. He set up, boy, his kingdom, boy, in Rome, and then, boy, he sent his ecclesia, his call out one, to those territories that he would take over. And, boy, the purpose of those call out ones of his church was to go and make those territories that Rome took over just like it was in Rome, colonies of Rome. For what purpose? So that it might be in those territories just like it is in Rome, governed and influenced by the emperor or the Caesar or the king himself. And listen, that's why I said when Jesus came in the fullness of time, it was because the system that God operated in and that God wanted for mankind, that system that the Roman Empire was operating in, was similar to that. What God want to do? God want to set up, boy, his kingdom up on the earth in a geographical location, I mean a spot or an atmosphere in anybody's life. And then he want to extend and expand that to the whole earth. Listen, this is what his desire is. His desire is that it be in our lives here on earth, just like it is in heaven. And the way he's going to get that done and accomplish that is not through us having church, but through us learning, boy, what church really is, and then us, man, going out into our everyday circle of influence, our everyday life, and be the church. We've been preoccupied with a good thing, for having church at the expense of not knowing and not learning how to be the church and what the assignment and the original purpose for the church is. Again, you know, we said that what God wanted to do, he told Adam, he placed Adam in that little garden, the Garden of Eden. And this is what, let me just make it simple. He said, make the whole earth just like this little Garden of Eden. He said, be fruitful. That means productive. That means produce fruit. I mean, in a lot of different areas, even have children. And when you have your children, you know, then your children going to take this same atmosphere, this same environment, this same Garden of Eden, boy, to their home, to their place on the earth. And when they go to their home or their place on the earth, when they become one, and when they become husband and wife or man and woman, and when they go to their respective areas on earth to live in, then they're going to be taking the presence of the Lord. That the life of place. They're going to be taking Eden with them. So the Eden is not no longer just in this one particular geographical location, boy, but then it'll be in the other geographical location, wherever the sons of mankind would be, wherever Adam would be, the human race would be. So that when they would be born and grow up and go into their territory, then they would go into their territory with the governing influence of Eden. So that when they would go into their territory, they would make their territory just like the territory that they were born in and then went out into the wilderness, to the world system. And they were set up, boy, the Garden of Eden in their circle of influence, in their domain, on their spot on the earth, with an open door into the literal presence of the Most High God, an atmosphere and an environment that's created by the literal presence of the Lord. For what purpose, Austin? So that the whole earth could be filled with the glory of God. So that it might be on earth just like it is in heaven. How is God going to accomplish that? Through his church. Listen, Caesar had his church. Listen, even our government had a church. The president of the United States had his church. We call it the cabinet. And listen, the church, these are not elected officials. These are chosen ones. Listen, the president cabinet is chosen by him. For what purpose? Boy, so that they could help him administrate, boy, his governing influence over this country that we elected him as the leader of, or the Caesar of, or the emperor of. And how he carried out his administration and his dictates and his rule as the president of this country through that organization that he called his cabinet. What would they do, boy? He chose them. He chose the one Secretary of State, the Secretary of Agriculture, the Secretary of Economics, Secretary of Education, Secretary, man, of all the different cabinets, all those different secretaries, all those different positions. Those are governing systems upon the earth that influence this earth. And what did the president do? He called our board 10 cabinet members. And, boy, he gave them assignments. What assignment, boy? You carry out, boy, the administration of education. You carry out the administration of agriculture. You carry out, and you carry out according to my administration, according to my dictates, according to the way I want to run the country, according to the way I see fit what's best for this country, boy. And the way he would get that carried out was through his church, who? The cabinet. And listen, what about the cabinet member? That's why I say, you know, we didn't choose Jesus. He chose us. We are called out ones, chosen by him. To do what? To, boy, get the administration of the kingdom of heaven, to get the mind of God. And how? Through his son, Jesus Christ. And then get the mind of God through his son, Jesus Christ. And, boy, administrate that, boy, and set that up in our circle of influence.
Who is that altar?
That's the church. That's what church really is. You know, it's not, man, what we know as church today. You know, that's worship service, and that's celebration service. But that's not church. That's not original church. Church assignment, man, is to make it on earth just like it is in heaven. Church is, let me read the scripture to you. Well, let me not get to go there, because I'll be a little bit ahead of myself. Listen, my time is just about up on this broadcast, but I'm just laying a foundation on the mission of the church and the original assignment and message of the church. And I just laying down this foundation to help you to understand what church really is. It's called out ones. Called out ones. What do you mean called out ones? Called out from amongst a large crowd by the king or the emperor to get the mind of the king, the emperor, and then to take it and legislate it and make it law. And then, man, make it practical policy, a policy that the people practice. For what purpose? So that he could establish the mind of the one who called them out in those territories and in the lives of people. That's why Jesus made the statement. He said, listen, man, I'll give gifts unto the church. What's the gift? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. For what purpose, Arthur? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of their ministry. What's our ministry, boy? To have church? To have singing? To preach sermon? No. Listen. The church, the way we know it, is a product of the fall. What you mean by that, Arthur? You know, the way we are having church today, you know, in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, it wasn't church like that. Not like we know it. It wasn't gathering in, you know, building with stained glass ministers with mirrors and windows with a preacher in it and doing. No, it wasn't church like that. It was church, but not like we know it. It was the original intent and purpose for the church. That they would fellowship with the Most High God 24/7 constantly. For what purpose? So that they could have the mind of God, the will of God, know what God intent is, know what God desire is. Know what God wants. I heard Bishop Townsend saying on this radio broadcast, listen, boy, it's not enough for you, man, just to have a corporate experience, man. You need to know God for yourself. You need to know the word of God for yourself. You need to have a personal relationship with God for yourself. What purpose? So that you can find out what God's original intent and design and purpose is for your life. He's the only one that can reveal that to you. Listen, the majority of the body of Christ they don't know the word. They're not disciples. They're members of churches, but they're not disciples of Christ. What do you mean a disciple? They're not learners. They're not students. They don't know the word. So if you don't know the word, then you don't know the mind of God. You don't know the thoughts of God. You don't know the will of God because it's revealed in his word. What's the word? The word, man, is logos. What's logos? That's the expression of a thought. Listen, if you want to know what God's thinking and want to know what God is like and you don't want to know what God's ideas is, then, boy, you got to hear what Jesus says. Because a word is an expression of a thought. The Bible says, boy, in the beginning, man, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And in him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light began to shine in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't put it out. Then he goes on to say, he came to his own, and his own received him not. And then further on in chapter 1, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What's a word? A word is an expressed thought. If you want to know what was in God's mind, even before the foundation of the world, what was his precept? What was he thinking? What was his intent? What was his reason? What was his reason for everything? And you got to hear what Jesus said. On that mountain of transfiguration, boy, when he took them three disciples up there, boy, and a great light shine. You remember what that voice from heaven said? This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. In other words, if you want to know what's really going on and who I really am and what the real deal is, then hear what he has to say. See, we heard, but we haven't heard what Jesus said. We heard all about what he did and how he's the Son of God and how he died for our sins and how on the third day he rose and how he opened blind Bartimaeus' eyes and unstopped deaf ears and raised Lazarus from the dead. We know all about what he did. But perhaps you don't know about what he said. Because what he said about what he did reveals to you and I who we are, where we come from, why we here, what we can do, and where we're going to end up in. So you got to hear what he said. You got to know what he said. You got to sit at his feet. That's why he called us out. That's why he separated us. That's why he established his church, his called out one. Because, boy, God's original intent that he had set up on the earth, something happened in there. So what he had to do was change his plans. His purpose is still the same. He still wants to be on earth just like it is in heaven. And he ain't never going to change that. And he's going to accomplish what he wants. And he's going to get it done the way he wants it done. He's going to get it done through his family of sons, through us, his children, man, by the power of the Holy Ghost. When we come to the knowledge of what our real assignment is and what our real purpose is and why we really here. That's to help God, boy, establish, boy, his will upon this earth. What's his will upon the earth? He said this, boy, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Then this is what his will is. Lord, that your kingdom come. What's your kingdom, Lord? What you doing? Your desire, your intent, your purpose, your will. Lord, what's your will for our lives, Father? What's your intent for our lives? What's your desire for our lives, Father? Let your kingdom come. And let your way of doing things, many are the plans in our hearts, and we have our own way of doing things, Lord. Nevertheless, Father, not our will, but let your kingdom come. Why? Because when your kingdom come, not when religion come, not when your denomination come, not when your church come, not when your philosophy come, not when your belief come, not when mankind believe come, when I'm talking about all these things, but Lord, when your kingdom come, when your will come, when your desire come, then it can be in earth just like it is in heaven. What do you say, Lord? Let your kingdom come. Why? Because when your kingdom come, then your will can be done. Your will, Father. Not the plans that are in our heart, even though some of the plans are good heart, good plans. But not our plans and not our will, Lord. But your will can be done. What's your will for our lives, Father? That it be in our lives on earth just like it is in heaven. What's your will and desire for our lives, Father? That we be just like you in your image and in your likeness, Father. Functioning just like you. Talking just like you. Thinking just like you. Acting just like you. Living holy just like you, Father. Living with authority and dominion and power and might with creative ability, Father. Just like you. The express image of you, Father. For what purpose, Lord? So that just like you rule your territory, the heavens, we might rule the territory that you gave to us, the earth. And in ruling the earth, our territory, the way you intended for us to do it under your tutor and your governor, Father, then it would be in our lives here on earth just like it is in hell. What has happened, Arthur Boyd, because is it church has been watered down and you've been preoccupied with having church. And you don't understand the mission of the church and the assignment of the church. And so what we have done, boy, as a misconception of what God is really doing, is we've been preparing men, the people, man, to go to hell. But that's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to prepare God's people, boy, for earth, how to rule and reign on the earth. Hey, listen, let me read that scripture that I was fixing to read to you just a few minutes ago in Ephesians chapter 4. It says this. Let me just turn to it in this Bible and get it to you. That's the passage of scripture in there where Jesus said he descended down and he also ascended back up and he gave gifts. Listen, let me read that to you. Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll start at, well, we just start at the first verse. It says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now listen to what he gave unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended? First into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is the same also who ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave gifts to the church. Some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. What's the purpose for those gifts? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Therefore, being henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight and cunning of men, and the cunning attractions, whereby they lie in wait in doctrine, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even, listen to this, even Christ, from wisdom, the whole body. What is that? What he did? He gave gifts to the church. What's those gifts? The fivefold ministry. What purpose? For the perfecting of the saints. To train you for reign. To teach you, boy, what God's original plan and what God's original purpose and what God's original desires for your life. And instead of just having church, boy, it'll teach you how to learn how to be the church. Until you come to a perfect man. Until you reach the fullness of a stature of Christ. What's a stature? A fixed, predictable image of someone. Till we become a fixed, predictable image of Christ. So that the same assignment, boy, that God sent Christ to this earth to do, that, boy, that same assignment might be carried out through us. That's why Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. And my church going to have the same assignment that I have. And as the Father sent me, so am I going to send you. And the works that I do, shall you do also. And even greater works. Because as I am, so are you. You know what Jesus Christ's message was and what he was edifying and what he was teaching for his disciples? Who they really are. Where they really come from. Why they really here. And what they really can do. For what purpose, boy? So that they could carry that out, boy, to the earth. So they could go into all the different earth. So that we can go into all this wilderness experience that we have here on the earth and set up kingdom laws, kingdom government, kingdom rules, kingdom authority, kingdom influence, the mind of God, boy, so that it might be on this earth just like it is in heaven. Hey, listen, as I close, it's going to be on this earth just like it started out. And we're going to continue this series, you know, as we go on into our broadcast and explaining to you all the original purpose and assignment and mission of the church. Hey, listen, my time is about up. But if you're there in the Bunker area, you know, hey, listen, I'd love for you to go by and visit, you know, Body Works there. Body Works Balance Bar is the home of the Touchless Massage. They offer aqua massage, hydro massage, massage chairs, sauna dome, detox, and V-stream service. Their services are great. And if you're looking for an alternative wellness regimen, then, boy, go and visit, boy, Ms. Shayla Williams there in Bunker, Louisiana at 125 Chevy Lane in the Piggly Wiggly Shopping Center there. You know, and if you want an appointment, that's a touchless bar. If you want an appointment there, you can contact her at 318-295-2042. Again, that phone number is 318-295-2042. And appointments we prefer, but walk-ins are welcome there. What they have there is a friendly, courteous environment and atmosphere there. And then also they have there the massage chairs, the aqua massage, the hydro massage, the B-stream, Yona massage,